change in
Blog Talk Radio.
Author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before that can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you on this Thursday evening?
Oh, I'm well, Cindy. How are you?
Good. It's nice that it's getting dark a little later, and pretty soon we'll change the clocks and it'll be even a little later. We might even start our show in daylight.
You know? Oh, look at that.
That always makes a difference, doesn't it?
I think so.
So how have you been? It is funny because some of our clients have been asking about how is Nicole?
Nicole's good.
Okay, you're doing good.
Tired.
Everything's good.
tired and working like a crazy person, but yes, very, very good. Having some fun in between all the work that I do and just trying to find a little bit more balance, and that's about it. So, yeah, all is
okay.
Well in my world.
Well, that's very good. Now, I could see TJ wants to talk. He's in the Hamptons.
Oh, my man, TJ.
Let's see what he has to say, but anyone who wants to talk to us, you do have to press 1. Oh, we
yep.
won't even know you're there. And Nicole will be
exactly.
doing some screenings, as always.
Of course. And just for the listeners out there, not only will I be screening the calls, but please know that since I don't know who you are, I will be identifying you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. So please, when I address you with those 4 digits, kindly answer me so that this way I can get you on the air and screened up. So, for right now, we're going to run over to TJ, and I'm going to jump into the chat room while you chat with the hubby.
Okie dokie.
Hello, TJ.
Hello, everyone. How are y'all? How
good.
Are you,
so are you with Roger? You guys went out to dinner?
Drop Roger off, and I'm on my way to see you, dear.
Okie dokie.
Okay?
All
and
right.
And I won't bother the show if you're on the air when I walk in the door. So anyway, I'm going to let you go. I love you. You know I love you. And Nicole, we got to get something together again. I have always have so much fun with you and Lisa and Cindy and I. We just laugh, and the pictures don't lie. The looks on the smiles on our faces are just so genuine. So I'll leave it to all of you guys to put it together because I'm always available. So, dear, I'm going to let you go. Anything you want to know, dear?
Oh no. We're just glad to say hello to you and.
So now
she's
probably screaming. Yeah, go ahead.
And we'll be having spring soon, and that's what we're all looking forward to, more weather.
Yes.
Oh, happy days, you know.
Okay.
All right, so I'll see you when you come home. I'm not sure if she's screened out anyone yet, so.
Well, you know, you could tell everyone about that wonderful show we started watching last night on Netflix.
Well, maybe you could talk about it.
Well, never mind then. Okay, is she have anyone screened? Is it time to go?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but anyway, I'll check it out.
What's the name of the show? Being Anna? Is that the name of the show? Being
Inventing
Anna.
Anna. I don't know if anyone
Inventing
has seen
Anna
it.
On Netflix. Very interesting show. Very interesting show. All right, I love you, dear. You know that. Good luck. I'm out of here.
Bye.
I'm back on the, I had to pull over so we had good connection because I'm in a dead zone. All right, love you, dear. Bye-bye. I'll see you in a little bit.
Bye. Wow. Okay, so Nicole, you screened someone. Who is this? Is anyone we've spoken to before? Hello, Nicole, are you there? Hello? Let me see. I hear kind of silence on her end. Okay, but she has screened Yvonne, I think, from California. All right, Nicole, are you there? Because I'm having trouble reading your little notes here. So, first-time caller. All right, let me see if I can. Nicole, I do need you because, TJ, you're going to have to hang up for a minute because I cannot get you to mute because I can't do it from my phone, my thing for some reason. Okay, good. Nicole, are you there? Someone's coughing. I'm not sure who that is. Okay, let me see if I could get someone here on the air. Hello?
Hi, hello.
Hi, you're live and on the air. I know Nicole screened you, but I don't know where she is because I haven't been able to find out what your story is. So why don't you give us and fill us in a bit.
Hi, yes. My name's Yvonne, and I wanted to know, do you see me and John, we've been together 7 years already. Do you see us being still together for long term for many more years to come?
Okay, let me take a look. Is there any reason for you to suspect you shouldn't be together?
No, just
because I've not seen any reason. It's like, oh, that's an interesting question. Relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. So if you survive the last 2 years with COVID and lockdown, you're probably going to survive forever because that was a rough period of time. But it does look like he's going to be here for the duration. You guys have a very strong connection. Do you feel like you're soulmates? Because it looks like you certainly are here. Very strong.
I actually feel like we're soulmates. I feel like that.
Oh, yeah, because if you said you weren't, I'm going, kind of hard for me to believe because there's out of a deck of 78 cards, there's only 2 soulmate cards, and I got both of them when you asked about your relationship. So that's a pretty strong indication. Now, do you remember when you first met him 7 years ago, feeling like you've always known him?
Yes.
That's called a recognition factor. And did you love him with your heart, soul, mind, and body when you met him?
Yes.
Yep. And that's a soulmate connection. And, the worst imaginable thing for soulmates is to think that they won't be together. So that's probably why you're asking this question. It's like, because you really want to be with him. Do you work at maintaining the soulmate love? Do you put him above everyone else?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Good. I know that seems hard because sometimes we want to put children first or other family members, but soulmates come first. He's also a person who looks like a very hardworking person and a person of his word. Do you realize he's a person of his word?
Yes, he is.
Good. And, are you guys married yet? Or do you want to be married?
We're still not married yet, though.
Okay, because that's the thing I'm seeing. It's time to maybe take it to the next level. Do you want to get married?
Yes.
Okay, because I think that's really your question here. Okay. Sometimes people get nervous about getting married, particularly if they've been married before. Has he been married before?
No, he has not. No,
okay,
I haven't
good.
Either.
Okay, and sometimes people just get nervous, but they tend to think that, oh, if I marry her, things are going to change. You know how the old cliche, she was great till we got married. Okay, but you guys have been together 7 years, okay? The prince or princess that becomes the beast in a relationship usually does that 6 months to a year into the story, not 7 years. I mean, you guys are really, who you say you are. Okay. Sometimes people are afraid to get married if their parents didn't have a good marriage or if their parents got divorced. What was his parents' marriage like?
His mom, I don't know. His mom passed away when he was 26. I never met his mom or his dad, so I don't know if they were married or not.
Okay. And, sometimes even people are afraid to love someone who could die in them. They get even scared about that. I mean, he lost his mom. But it looks like, have you discussed this with him that you want to get married?
We talked about it, yeah. And he said he'll marry me when his financial situation gets better.
Okay, that's interesting. Because let's talk about something that my daughter had pointed out when she did some research. With men, it's evolutionary that they don't want to marry a woman, even if she works or can support herself, if they don't feel they can support the relationship. Okay, mm-hmm. It's kind of this evolutionary back to caveman thinking almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it tends to be for a lot of men that experience. But God does reward soulmates with great abundance. So, you know, I would see more abundance coming your way. It doesn't look like he's loving his current job. Is he unhappy with it at this point?
I don't know. I haven't discussed that with him.
Okay. Because sometimes that's even a problem. You know, if you don't love mm-hmm. your job, then you're going to kind of feel stuck if you get married. But, you know, maybe mm-hmm. you could just talk to him, you know, how, I mean, I don't think that you're expecting him to support you all by himself, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And maybe have that conversation because it does look like that is an issue to him. But I do see him getting either a better job or more money in the future. So I would just mm-hmm. tell him you're okay about it. But again, it isn't a rational fear. Okay. It's in the collective thinking of men to not want to commit to a woman and marry her until he can afford her. But that's kind of antiquated thinking that we're asked to overcome some of this as people. You know, talk to him about it. Do you live with him at this point?
No, we don't even live together right now. No.
Okay, because,
no, we don't.
You know, I mean, it actually costs more to have two separate houses than households than to have one, by the way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right at the 7-year mark because at the 5-year mark, you should be moving to the next level, which is marriage or children, if that's what you want. So
we have a child together.
Okay.
Do you see us having another child together?
Yeah, I could see that you're a mom. You know, I wasn't sure if it was with him, but, you know, you already have a child together. It would be nice to get married, you know.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's some other fears going on here. It looks to me like, you know, some of these are just fears of commitment, you know, fully committing mm-hmm. that way. And, you know, you almost have to, like, let him know how you feel because it looks to me he's just going to stall this. I'm not saying he's going anywhere or he's leaving, okay? But
okay.
This may go on. At the 10-year mark, you're still not married. So,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
And also, if you have a child together and you have two households, that costs more money than if you live together. I mean, it would be nice if he lived in the same household. Like, does
exactly.
he come over, he does he come over all the time?
He comes over all the time. But when we first got together, we lived together for about a year.
And then what happened?
And then we did it because we stayed with my mom. At my mom's place, and my mom didn't want him staying there anymore, so he moved out.
Okay, and now where are you living?
I live with a roommate.
Okay, now, this is ridiculous. How old are you, by the way?
37.
Okay, at 37, living with your roommate, not with the father of your child, seems a little ridiculous, doesn't it, at this point?
Yeah, mm-hmm, it does.
Okay, so I'm just seeing more commitment phobia here, too, like he's just afraid to go to the next level. But
mm-hmm.
I don't see him leaving you at all, but I see that you may end up not wanting him if this continues because
okay.
you're going to resent him, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
And that's a normal kind of – that's a normal feeling, you know. But I would put the cards on the table that, you know, you would like to be married. I mean, I'm sure you don't want to be living with a roommate anymore, do you?
No.
You know, but it's very expensive to afford not to have a roommate, right? It's expensive. Living is
yeah.
expensive nowadays. But doesn't – you know, have you ever asked him if he wants to move back in with you?
Yeah, he said he would. Yeah.
Okay, so when is that going to happen?
That's the thing. I don't know. I think we're planning on doing it around May, but I have to see if it really happens.
Okay, that's what I would say. Let's come up with a plan here. You know, that where would your roommate go at this point?
I don't know. I guess I'm not sure, but she's going to get another roommate, I guess. I'm not sure.
You can understand, it's not just you who needs to know these answers. You have to let your roommate know, you know. So you have to have some concrete answers from him, what's going to be happening. And
yeah.
See if he'll move in May, you know, see how that goes for 6 months to a year, and then, you know, start talking about the marriage part of it. But I would first get him to at least move in with you at this point. And
okay.
I just think he's got some fears. Okay. But
yeah, I think so too.
I mean, and it's not, you know, again, he can't, said he can't afford it, but who does he live with right now?
His auntie.
Okay, so he's not paying rent or anything at this point?
No. No.
Okay, so yeah, you know, the problem is that people allow people to live free, and so then they never want to go pay rent and cable and everything else. It's not so good to do this to people, you know, because they get used to not having to pay what, you know, normally people have to pay. So I could see that maybe that's part of the problem, but, you know, this is a point where, you know, it's time to move it forward. I mean, I see you getting fed up with this if he doesn't move forward with you any sooner than later. So, you know, see if he comes and moves in with you. Has he saved money when he's not paying rent and everything?
Yes.
Okay, good. So let's start spending some. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, because he's going to have to help pay for some of this rent and everything at that point.
Yeah.
So I see it a little bit of a money issue, too. It's not a lack of love here, but it's more like, let's move it forward. You know, step up to the plate.
Do you see us having another kid together?
Yeah, well, that's what I saw, a pregnancy in these cards. Now, I wouldn't get pregnant from him again unless he's living with you and you guys are, because it's a lot on you, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, he's got to step up to the plate and be a full-time dad in the household and help you, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, so don't be, don't be mean about it. Say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it. But there's a thing in America where the women's liberation movement that my generation ushered in, we did not expect men to become boys. They become boys now, where they don't want to step up to the plate. And, you know, I think you're going to have to ask him to step up to the plate and be there for you, you know, and expect it at this point. And, you know, otherwise, you know, you're the one who's going to get frustrated by this. You know, do you see him every day at this point?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you see him every day. Come live with you, you know. And you know, and does he help pay child support and things?
Yes, he does.
Okay. I just see a little bit that he wants to save some more money by not living with you, but it's not really fair to you. So call in again and let us know what happens. I would say if he doesn't move in with you by May, you need to have a serious, serious talk that this has to go forward. You know,
okay.
How does your family feel about the situation, your own family feel about it?
They're not too happy. My mom was not too happy.
I was going to say, if I were your mother, I wouldn't be so happy about this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it also is just a little disrespectful to you. You know, you're the mother of his children, you're his soulmate. You know, go live with you and be a family. Don't you want that?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay, and again, I do see a little depression going to take place, you know, if you don't begin to do something about it. Because I see a little low-grade depression showing in the cards. Are you experiencing any of that?
I feel like I am a little bit.
Yep, and again, that's only because, you know, depression is anger turned inward. So I imagine you're angry about the situation at this point. And how old is your child?
She's 6 years old.
Okay, I mean, that's a long time for you guys not to be, you know, living with each other at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even for her, she's probably wondering what the story is.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah,
they get a little smart by this age, you know. Do me a favor and call in again and let us know what happens. But I would just, you know, kind of put the cards on the table that it's time we move forward. And became a real family, you know, and had a home together. You know, keep us posted. And Nicole, I don't know if you're there, if you have anything to add, because I'm not sure if she's still screening. She might be screening.
I can't. I came in, you know, more towards the end of the call, but no, I think that you hit it on the head there. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's an unfortunate circumstance that he doesn't want to move it forward just now, but, you know, it may be a situation where, you know, you're going to have to put a little bit of pressure, and it may be a situation where, you know, you're going to have to, you know, kind of put your foot down and, you know, tell him what's acceptable and what's not acceptable and see if he rises to the occasion with that. You know, unfortunately, people will always, you know, they'll always get away with whatever you allow them to get away with. You know, so you might have to just be a little bit more forceful in your demand there, and just tell him, like, listen, you know, at this point, after all of this time, what exactly are you afraid of? You know, because in all this time, you've always been able to work things, you know, to work things out in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, you might just have to tell him, like, well, you know, listen, man up. You know, man up, rise to the occasion here. Mm-hmm. This is what I need. This is what I want. And, you know, where is your head at? Because if you want the same thing, then enough dragging your feet.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Call in again, and we'll be here for you, and I hope that he does step up to the plate, but it's about time now. It's about time.
Yeah.
Well, bye for now, and good luck. We're going to try to get another caller in. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so we have Nancy. Okay, now, I remember she called in, and can you tell us a little bit about what's happening now? And
Nancy, you know, called in a couple of weeks ago, for those who don't remember, and she had gone through a breakup, and her uncle and her grandfather, who have passed, said, you know, basically that they didn't like the guy anyway, and that she was better off, and things like that, Cindy. And if you recall, I had to administer a little bit of tough love to Nancy that day. And we did advise her that if she was feeling bad or you know, lost in any way, to please give us a call back and check back in so that we can give her a little bit of a tune-up. So that is why Nancy's calling today. She's calling in for her two-week tune-up, Cindy, and she just wants to know if there's any new developments or if anything has changed in the cards. So here we go, out to Nancy. Hello, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello, Nick. So have you heard from him at all? Because it doesn't look like it here yet. Have you?
No. Yeah, and I just feel, like, very lost about the whole situation.
Of course you do, because we know it was a soulmate. I remember that. And then that usual, like, clockwork, that 6 months when the fear starts kicking in. And, he was drinking. And I think he was talking to his ex or something at that point?
Correct. Yes,
okay, this
that's
is the
how...
Because your uncle just said, yeah, that toxic bitch, he called her, excuse me.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's still talking to her, you know, back and forth. It does also look like he's drinking heavily. So that's why he's not missing you the same way you're missing him. Because you know, he's distracting with the alcohol. Now, are you thinking of contacting him at all?
Not at the moment right now. I feel like I'm just very weak right now. I just feel like I can't, like, I just don't even know myself anymore. Like, that's, I just, I'm feeling very lost. And
of course you are.
I really don't know what to do.
Right, because the ending of a soulmate relationship feels like a death. You're in mourning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a person in mourning, they're not supposed to make any big decisions because their mind is not functioning properly. And you're wondering why he's not feeling the same amount of pain you are. A, he's distracted with alcohol. B, he's still talking with his ex, and they fight like cats and dogs. And, you know, he's distracting. And, you know, I wouldn't advise you to call him just yet. I would say waiting a full 3 months from the last time you spoke to him, which is, you know, it's about two or three weeks now since you talked.
It's going to be a month on Sunday, actually.
Okay, good. Okay, so it's a month. You know, at the 2 months from now, if you haven't heard from him, which it looks like you probably will, then you would contact him because you were soulmates, and to, you know, kind of give one last chance to see what's going on. But if he's drinking and all of that, it's not going to be good. But at that point, just see where his head is at. and see what you think. What right now, your grandpa said he's drinking a lot. Did you know him to drink a lot?
I did see that in January, and I kept on saying, like, what happened? Like, because it was not something that I had seen before, and I always wonder, like, what triggered him to start drinking? And that's when I found out, went through his phone, and I saw that he'd been talking to his ex. And that's where everything just went downhill for us.
Right. And remember, around the 5 months into a relationship, the fears start kicking in and the unhealed issues start surfacing. And a person might start drinking because it has nothing to do with you. It's just the nature of soulmate love. Because a person finally feels safe enough to face some issues from their childhood and other things that they may never have faced before. So instead of dealing with the issues, he started to drink and go back to his ex, because that's what we call a cellmate relationship. And cellmate relationships have this unconscious contract: no matter what you do or I do, we never abandon each other. And so they fight like cats and dogs, and his fears of abandonment might keep him with her. But they also have a lot of anger and rage in those relationships. And, you know, if you have childhood issues you haven't faced, you might have depression, and depression is anger turned inward, and it can be rage. So he's rages with her and fights with her. He doesn't want to do that to you because you're a nice person. But what's he going to do with all that anger? Okay, so that's why toxic love serves a purpose. But the thing about it is you don't heal any issues when you're in that. Maybe if you stay long enough and you finally are tired of a person bringing out the worst in you and you've kind of exhausted all your rage, then you could move on. But did he ever talk to you about his childhood at all?
Yeah, so he lost his father when he was 13 years old. His father passed away. And I knew that it hurt him, and I understood, and that's where, like, a lot of his anger comes from, because he was very close to his father. But I didn't understand the extent of it until he took me to the cemetery one day when we went to visit his dad, and I just saw him break down, and I was shocked, because it was a pain that I couldn't even explain. To me, it seemed like it was happening like that day that he was losing his dad, the way he broke down. And he never really dealt with it. Like, he never coped with his father's death correctly, I feel.
That's exactly, you hit the nail on the head, because soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. And oftentimes, it's the fear of loving someone who could die on them that makes them want to stay with a toxic love. If you had a toxic love with that unconscious contract, no matter what I do or you do, we never abandon each other, that's what he's afraid of. He's afraid you could promise him you're going to love him, but can you promise him you're not going to die? And you could see when you saw that it was as if his father had just died today. And how old is he now?
He's 44.
Okay, so instead of 30 years before, it looked like his dad just died, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's because he never did mourn for his father properly. I don't know if you ever watched the movie Bright Lights, Big City, but the whole point of that was that his mom died when he was young, and he had never faced it. And the point of the movie was as good a time as any to face it. So this man never mourned for his father, and what you saw was him mourning, okay? And you know, people who lose a parent when they're young, particularly under the age of 16, particularly closer to under 13, have a really trouble loving. They're afraid to love someone who could die on them. Okay, and that's what kicked in with you. And, you know, he started to drink because he, you know, he drank a lot after his father died when he was a young guy. I don't know if he told you, but, you know, his dad is coming to say that instead of feeling the pain that he should have felt about his father's death, he did a lot of drinking. And so he's never really faced it. And soulmate love always comes from God and someone who dies. And, of course, his dad is claiming to have wanted you to be with his son to help heal this issue. So maybe that's why giving him 3 months to see what he does without you, to see, like, he's thinking, You know, if you've never had a soulmate before, most of the time when you're in a relationship and it's not a soulmate, you know, by the time a month or two goes by, you don't even miss a person, it's over with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be able to forget you because you don't stop loving a soulmate. You can't wish or will it away. But the real mm-hmm. reason he can't love you is because of the loss of his father. And now he's so terrified to love you because what if you die? If he stays with her, that bitch, with that toxic love, you know, who cares if she dies? You know, he might even kill her. That is a really mm-hmm. toxic relationship, you know. So
yeah.
that's the issue. And I'm glad that you mentioned that you saw how hard he was crying. Like, you couldn't believe it because, you know, 30 years. And, you know a lot of people that have lost their parents 20 or 30 years before. Yeah, they're sad, but they're mm-hmm. not like that. Because they've processed
mm-hmm.
it. He had never processed it before at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't want to feel that pain anymore at the loss of his father. And then he started to drink again, which is exactly what he did when his father died.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in that situation. So with soulmates, they usually give us 3 months from when it's broken up to see what his thoughts are, to see if he stops drinking, starts, you know, getting his act together. At the mm-hmm. 3 month mark of not, you know, when you didn't talk to him anymore, it's karmically correct for you to call him and see how he is and see what's happening. If he respond, and I would just follow my gut on that day. If your gut tells you to call mm-hmm. him, he happens to be drunk and everything goes wrong. Don't think it was the wrong time to call him. They want you to see his mindset. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so give it that time, but it's not like he doesn't miss you. Like at the end of the day, no matter if he's distracting or drinking, he always is thinking of you.
Okay.
It's just that he's, you know, and it's, again, it's really hard for people that lose a parent when they're young to love.
Yeah.
Normally, when a parent dies, they try to bring a soulmate to their kid when they're 18. 18-year-olds know how to love. You bring a soulmate to somebody's 14, 15, 16, they know how to love. It's when they mm-hmm. get 25, 30 and over, they forget.
Yeah.
So I don't believe he's ever had a soulmate before. He may have had relationships, but never a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad part about soulmate love, is that it brings up these issues. That's why all
yeah.
of us have to heal our own issues as much as we can when we're by ourselves. Like right now, you deal with your feelings, deal with what you're really feeling. Mourn for this relationship. If we don't
mm-hmm.
do the mourning, it'll come back and bite us in the butt later on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point, that he's very sad, and, you know, he doesn't know what to do with all these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's all coming up in him. I mean, it looks to me like he will contact you with the little bit of insight that you have now about the situation. Let him talk, see what he has to say, and then, you know, you can gently address this issue. That soulmate love, a deep love, the greater the love, the greater the fear comes up, and the greater the unhealed issues. And that
right.
he wasn't fine before you came into the picture, okay? And that, you know, but that's why I have really weird skills, the ability to understand soulmate love, that 549-page book, Grant Me a Higher Love, and all this
mm-hmm.
information channeled to me, and to talk to the dead. They wouldn't seem like related skills, but they are. Because only 1% of people maintain soulmate love because they're afraid to love someone who could die in them. But if I could
mm-hmm.
prove death ends a life, not a relationship, by talking to your grandpa or your uncle or his dad, that should help us overcome that fear. You know, no
mm-hmm.
one regrets loving on the other side. The hardest part about my job is all day long, I hear people saying they woulda, coulda, shoulda loved better. Okay?
Yeah.
They regret they didn't love. You won't regret, like, this ending of this relationship is not your fault if he can't step up to the plate. You'll be granted another soulmate. They usually give 3 to 6 months to see what he does. But then they'll bring
mm-hmm.
another soulmate into alignment with you. He will not be granted another soulmate because he's responsible for the ending of this. And that's sad. Because that means he will not heal this issue at all.
Right. It's funny you mentioned that because
last couple of weeks, I feel like all of my exes kind of like messaged me, and at one point I thought they had feelings for one of them still, but after all of this, I'm like, no, there's nothing there. Like, I, for some reason, I'm like reassured that this person is my one. Like, there's, I don't know, I can't even explain
right.
it. Like,
and
I've
of course,
never felt this.
It did show you that the others came back to reassure you that no one's forgotten you and that they do come back, okay? And right. and it was just with you, you're not the one responsible for this not going anywhere. I would try to stay firm on it a little bit and, you know, not talk to him, you know, unless if he calls you, of course. But at the 3-month mark, you need to contact him to see where it is, because otherwise you won't be granted another soulmate if you don't at least extend the olive branch to let him know that you're still here, you're still thinking of him.
Right.
And then if he can't step up to the plate, that's not your problem. It's not your fault.
Okay.
Now, in the meantime, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's him, so be it. If it's someone else, also send love on the soul plane to him at night
mm-hmm.
before you go to sleep. And you could also pray for because you're very high soulmates, for the inevitable reunion of your souls in this lifetime, in spirit, or in any other lifetime. Mm-hmm. You will be reunited with him, you know, and yet you're putting it a little bit up to God. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
and pray, send him love. You might see him in your dreams because, you know, he may come to you in the dream plane to say he's sorry or to make love to you or to talk to you, because his soul is angry for this. It's his ego that can't deal with it, but his soul may come to you.
That's what his sister said. Like, one of the things that we, like, messaged a while ago, and she basically said, like, he says you're perfect, but he's still confused. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do with that.
Again, he's not confused. He just thinks I was fine before you came into my life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point. So let's just see if you can't say those prayers. Send him love on the soul plane. Ask his dad to help, okay? Ask his dad
mm-hmm.
to put some thoughts in his head. You're an idiot. You're going to lose her.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if he continues to run from you, he will probably really drink heavily, because the only way to really numb the loss of a soulmate pain is to probably get so stoned or drunk that you don't feel the pain. But it's not a good solution. It's a terrible
mm-hmm.
solution. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it appears that he had spent a lot of time drinking way too much in his
mm-hmm.
past. You know, and
okay.
and the first 3 to 6 months, the love is so strong that it overcomes fear. And
mm-hmm.
and the unhealed issues don't surface until 3, 4, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first 3 months, the fears don't surface and the unhealed issues don't surface. So, like clockwork, it just has happened. So, call in again. You know, be reassured that, you know, Spirit is trying to help with this situation. But the problem is, if they don't stop drinking, it's really hard to access the brain of a person who's drinking or stoned. Spirit really can't access
right.
it. It's really almost
right.
impossible. Okay. And everyone, while they're heavily drinking, is unfixable. They're manipulative, they're judgmental, they're not accountable. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they stop drinking, you could see, you know, if they really are true unfixable, or they're just unfixable while they're using. And,
right.
you know, and he is in really in sympathy of him, he is in a great deal of pain. That doesn't matter to your
mm-hmm.
grandpa, because your grandpa says, you know, buck up and be a man. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
men can go to war, they can't go to love. I mean, your grandpa's just mad that this man has hurt you, you
mm-hmm.
know. And the one thing that I've learned in 25 years of doing this, though, if when the 3-month mark passes and if he still can't begin to talk to you and address these fears, he's a narcissist. I mean, narcissists
mm-hmm.
care how they hurt other people. If this right. were me, I'd get my ass to therapy. Why am I hurting the person I love? Okay?
Right.
If they can't do this, they have to have some level of narcissism. If they can hurt someone this much and not look and not try to heal an issue or work on it.
Right.
So keep us posted and call in again, you know, and especially if you speak to him. And something's confusing mm-hmm. if you said something that doesn't ring true, because hearts don't lie.
Okay.
People lie. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. people go, I don't really miss you, and you know it's not true. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, be prepared to be speaking with him in the next few months, either if it's him calling or you calling him.
Okay.
Okay, and try to get some sleep. You know, your grandpa promised to help you get a better night's sleep because it doesn't look like you're sleeping well at all. He says you're waking up all night.
No. Yeah.
Right. So
I'm really
he's going to try to give you a good night's sleep.
Okay.
That'll probably be helpful to you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
And then, Nicole, those are always the heartbreaking calls, isn't it? Aren't they heart-rending? It's
ooh,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, it's so sad that, you know, that people can't, you know, face their issues. I mean, we got to heal these issues. Otherwise, we go on hurting people.
What's funny is that, and when I say funny, it's not even funny. It's more sad. But in today's day and age where people put so much focus on being in tune and woke and you have to be sensitive about, you know, this and that and everything and everybody else's predicaments and everything going on in the world and everybody's so hypersensitive about things, you would imagine that some of that wokeness and some of that awareness and some of that sensitivity would come in at your, you know, would seep its way into your personal relationships, not just in your, you know, social media and in your, you know, almost exogenous sort of relationships, you know, your outside people, you know, because it seems that the more and more, you know, we're hearing about, you know, people dragging their feet, people not, you know, still not wanting to commit, people still not wanting to heal their issues. It's almost like they're expecting these issues just to dissipate and to go away by themselves. Or they're almost, you know, waiting for them just, you know, for the world to fix them instead of them actually fixing them, you know. So it's really, really quite sad.
I know it's very sad. And you know, like you're saying, it's almost that problem with the hypersensitivity to things is it's taken away the sense of humor, okay? So I think the sense of humor helped diffuse a lot of situations.
Oh, yeah.
That maybe people were able to heal in a different way, but it's true. It's like for all the hypersensitivity, I don't see that we're getting, that we're having more real conversations. Maybe it's almost making people less likely to communicate.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just afraid to say the wrong thing. You know what I mean? Like, if, you know, it's awful because, you know, I don't know if you saw the new Sex and the City reboot. I think it's called And Just Like That. You know, they're older, and you know, you know, they're always a pretty woke people on the show. It's not like they're not, but their foot's always in the mouth in the show, and it is comedic because you know they're not racist, they're not any of that, but it always is coming across like they are, and it's almost uncomfortable to watch because you realize they are not trying to say something wrong, but the more they're trying, the worse it gets. So I think maybe that has made it so people are afraid to communicate because they're afraid to say the wrong thing or be taken wrong. So maybe we could work on a little tougher skin, a little bit of if someone says something, you could maybe gently correct them or whatever, but not, you know, totally crucify somebody for it.
No.
It is making communication more difficult, actually.
Yes, it is.
And, boy, you know, that we need – that's a communication. Let's just use that as the word for the week. Let's just communicate, cut people some slack, and have a sense of humor here and there, please, because it does help a lot. And, you know, finding the right words to communicate is always important. Now, we do have Maria. She's our favorite, the beautiful Italian woman from upstate New York. And she's having a problem. Okay, I know she was trying to get her money to buy a place in Italy. Is this the same problem still going on?
No. This is a different problem that she's having. And, you know, it's a little bit of a financial problem. And she's getting her, a lawyer involved, you know, because she wants to pursue this. And she basically just wants you to pull some cards, Cindy, and see if she's going to win if she gets this lawyer involved. So here we go, out to the beautiful Italiana, Maria. Hello, Maria. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you? I'm Miss Sorbat.
Hi, Maria. Yes,
how are
you? It's funny. We're good here, thanks. And I did get the card, the legal card, which is the Six of Pentacles, which shows the scale of justice. It looks like you should be able to win this case. Okay. I know you want to be involved in a lawsuit like a hole in the head here, but it does look like you would have to take a legal avenue to get back your money, like it won't come otherwise, or deal with what's going on. And what kind of a lawsuit is it?
No, this is talking about it. It's a settlement. Whatever I need to ask you, so I'm going to win, I got some problem. I put the lawyer involved. So I'm going to win this case where I put the lawyer involved.
Yeah, it looks like you will win it. It's not going to be easy. Okay?
My lawyer, the name is Debbie.
The lawyer is what?
The name is David.
David, yeah. I mean, he looks like he's a good lawyer. And, yep, I got the justice card, so it looks good. The person, the person you're going against looks like they play very unfair and lie a lot, but ultimately you'll win. So I would just go forward with it and be patient. It might take a little while, but it looks very promising on it for you. So that's important. You're going to win. You have a very good 5-year period opening up, too. So let's get this taken care of. And I'm sorry you have to go through this, but ultimately the outcome looks very good.
Thank you. Can I ask about the settlement, if you don't mind? The settlement is still not get yet. You think you...
Yeah, the settlement, I'm surprised, isn't here yet. That's what I was, you know... What are they telling you the delay is? Because it looks like you should definitely have it.
They say the judge got him. Excuse me. The judge says he got him on the end because once in a while I call it the office, you know, I ask. He says the judge, now we got to decide. I don't know. They're going to give me a lot that I can buy profit over there. I don't know.
Yeah, you will be able to. The settlement looks like that'll come through, too. They just stall it as long as they can because they like to float the money, keep investing the money and not giving it out. So the longer they stall, the better for them. But it does look like by the time you get to 2023, this should be settled, you know, entirely. So I don't think they could stall it much longer, this case. So it'll be coming, your settlement.
This year, it was the same maybe by May?
It might be longer than that, you know. I would say it could be as far as 3 more months or more at this point. And it'll come through. I'm not worried about you getting the money. It's just a question of speeding it along. And in the meantime, try to relax a little bit because it will come through. The other lawsuit looks like just get all your ducks in a row. Make sure you have all your facts straight and everything you need, and you'll win. The other person just looks like they lie a lot. You know, the situation looks like there's a lot of people that don't play fair. But you'll be okay with that lawsuit.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you. Call in again and let us know.
Thanks. I said, call on nobody, Angela. Now I said, when you come over here, come up here, I invite you.
Oh, we can't wait to have some of your delicious Italian food and just to give you a big hug, Maria. And by then, we hope you have all your settlement, you know,
yes.
and all your and this lawsuit all solved, you know. Well,
yes.
good luck to you, and thanks for calling
yes.
into our show.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You're welcome.
God,
bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Sure, yeah. Bye.
Boy, it's always something, isn't it, Nicole?
Yeah.
And then the court
Absolutely.
System
she
moves like snails. Remember we were saying they keep blaming everything on COVID, but this is ridiculous already. Stop blaming everything on COVID. Get it moving forward. It
Don't
is impossible with the court system. Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So you have screened who now?
I have Jimmy.
Oh, okay. And what's... I don't know who. Did you hear?
Is that Alexa just answering me?
Yeah.
I didn't even say her name, and she's talking
no,
to me.
No, I didn't. I didn't either, but she said, you know, something about who, so whatever. So she's talking to us. We got spirits in here today, you know.
All righty then. So
that's all I can tell
Jimmy.
You.
And Jimmy is trying to figure out a question regarding a past life. Specifically, a Civil War past life. So here we go, out to Jimmy. Hello, Jimmy, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello.
So what's making you think about the Civil War past life today of all days?
I was just going through, like, different past lives, trying to see, like, how far back I can, like, remember without like hurting my brain.
Yeah.
Literally without hurting my brain, because like,
yes,
it,
of course,
it,
I understand that.
Wow.
I fully understand that. So World War I, and then you figured that wasn't yours. I remember you said that earlier,
right.
And then the Civil War.
I'm trying to figure out World War II, whether or not I'm picking that up off of someone else or not. And I feel like I was in the Civil War, but I'm not entirely sure because it's, like, hazy. And I'm not really, like, I don't know if that was my soulmate that was in that or what.
Okay. Now, it's funny with past lives. They don't come up really easily unless they're pertaining to something now. So almost...
Right.
You know, going back, but I did get a card that indicates that you died during the Civil War, okay?
Okay.
I don't think survived it, and that across from...
So that means I
like a wife card I got, and children, I got, they were mourning for you, okay? That you had been a husband,
wait,
you had a children, and they were mourning for you and didn't know what to do after you had died.
Oh,
and,
oh,
you know,
terrible.
It doesn't look like a good past life that I would focus on, okay?
No, maybe that's why it's all hazy and I can't really remember it. Okay.
I remember the life
before that, and I remember the life after that, but I can't. It's like all hazy, and I'm like, ah.
Yeah, well, that's
something
why.
About the underground,
what
about
I thought
the underground
was very
railroad,
painful.
And I'm like.
It was a very painful past life.
Okay.
Okay. And more so because you left behind the children and your wife.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know what I mean? And it looks like it was more toward the end of the war that they're saying. So it was almost like it was just about over. I don't know, maybe a week or two left. And
really?
You were pretty sure
wow.
you were coming home. You were pretty sure you were coming home, and then you died. So that was the more tragic part of it. That everyone was saying, okay, the war's almost over, and, you know, somehow it was one of the last battles or something, and you ended up dying. It could have also been not even a battle-related. It almost looks like you got sick, you know.
Okay.
Something
yeah,
happened.
Medicine wasn't really that great back then.
And that's why it wouldn't be
right.
a clear, and you were young, maybe in your late 20s, you weren't like,
yeah,
eight,
I couldn't have
you were,
been,
you were,
I couldn't
or you were a man,
old.
Okay.
I calculated that it was, that I could only be like, what, like maximum of 41 years old.
Yeah, I
way.
Would say you were a young man.
So
I didn't
like,
think you were younger. You might have been in your 30s because you
okay.
you were not young. It wasn't an 18-year-old because the kids looked like they were a little bit older, like maybe 9, 10, 11, that age range.
Okay.
So you were
right.
definitely a little bit older. But
did,
it was.
Did that. That's not a wife that I'm wife that I'm having an issue with in this life at all, am I?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It, does,
okay.
it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like that. It
okay.
just looks
okay.
like that's why.
It's not like an. It wasn't an issue. It was just like it was like she was left there and she had to figure something out regarding.
She had
the
to figure out how to go on without you. And
okay.
And
okay.
you were just a little restless. For a long time in the other side because, you know, in those days, they didn't really have much to provide when you died for
mm-hmm.
them. You know, if you worked, you would have. But
right,
like,
right. No, I know. Yeah, I was, that's, wow. That's
okay,
terrible.
That's why it's a little foggy, daisy, not a good, but it also, like, just is like one of those lifetimes that wasn't a hell of a lot to learn from that situation is what it shows. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You just,
right.
You know, it was sort of those, you know, very hard for men because their soul records read very different from women. Women's soul records
mm-hmm.
have personal karma, but very little collective karma. When I read a man's
okay.
soul record, they have a lot of collective karma, and I've almost always seen with men every other lifetime, if not every lifetime at war. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
with that
And that's
does,
weird because I went because the lifetime before that I know I was at the Alamo. So I went two lifetimes. I don't know before that. I can't pick up before the lifetime before the Civil War. I can't pick up anything. It's just like the next thing that I'm picking up is Egypt. Actually no, the next thing I'm picking up is Atlantis and then Egypt, and it's like a huge gap. Like you're talking about like 2,000 years, and I'm like, I don't know what more than 2,000 years. I'm like, I
right.
don't know what's going on with that. So,
right, and again, sometimes it's
like
just
a,
pretty. It's pretty much with men, it truncates their like soul development to die young at
okay.
war, and you know that's what I just see for you. It was just not. It was just not a pleasant experience, but. You know, it looks pretty resolved, so I wouldn't stir
okay.
it up too much. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Lifetimes normally come up as they're pertaining to something more now to us,
mm-hmm.
but men, and the easiest way to pick up in past lives is to think about in school times in history that you really listen to or when you watch, what you like to watch a movie about a particular era or time. Because there's a million
okay.
different time frames. Why do we never want to watch a movie about a certain period of time? It just doesn't interest us. And why
right.
are we obsessed with another period of time?
So the question that I have, World War II, what is going on with that? Because, like, every time I try to think about it, either, like, I get a headache or, like something doesn't add up. It's like, and I was trying to calculate it, and I'm like, there's no way that I was like that I was driving a tank during World War II because the years don't even add up. I would have been 12 operating a tank. Like that doesn't make sense. Like that's why I was thinking maybe I was picking that up off of someone else.
You might have been in spirit during that war, during wars, and during spirit,
okay.
you're still watching over family members or other. Might have been your sons
maybe that's
or
what it was.
Other
maybe,
people.
Maybe I'm picking
so that's
up
like,
someone
it,
I know.
Exactly, it could, and it could have been
okay.
a child of yours. So sometimes
okay.
we're
okay.
in spirit during really hard periods of time, and we have witnessed it and watched it during then. So that's why past lives are a little tricky to sometimes ascertain, did we live through it or were we watching over certain people during it? And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, how much of a difference it makes, but that's why sometimes we're picking up on things that are a little tricky to figure out. And, again, I never
okay.
stress past lives because unless it's pertaining to something we need to heal now, that's what the only ones
mm-hmm.
that are. If we've healed issues from that There's no reason even to you know, dwell on it anymore.
No, I was actually doing like a past life regression. I was trying to remember my past lives and trying to figure out if there's like something that I need to heal or something in conjunction with my soulmate, and it seemed to help me a little bit. But you know, that was the Civil War thing was obviously popping up in my head. I'm like, I can't, because I was writing this stuff down, and I'm like, I can't figure out what this is. It was all blurry. So.
Right, and again, sometimes past lives can be like dreams. It's hard to remember. I mean, we can get glimpses of it, but you know, some of it can be very vapory and not clear. But you know. The best way is really for anyone, if you just find yourself continually intrigued by a period of time, I would do as much reading about it as possible, because that can sometimes stir a memory. We can remember actually being there, because usually it's when you're reading history and you go, well, that's not what happened. And you don't know how you would know that not happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah,
I was doing that in elementary school and middle school. I was doing that.
Yep, and I know because...
I knew Anne Frank would sneak out, and it's not written down anywhere.
Wow, and it seems that sometimes you would just be able to see certain things.
I don't know how I knew that.
Right, and realize things. Well, you probably thought any 13-year-old would try to sneak out at one time or another.
Right, that was probably it. Right.
You know that, no, she would sneak her way out of there. Well, we're at the end of the show. We're going to be knocked off. Okay, we'll all speak next week. Thank you, Jimmy, for sharing your past lives, because that's always very interesting. Nicole, thank you for everything. Sorry if we couldn't get to everyone, but we're at the end, and they do kick us off the air. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, Nicole.
Bye, honey.